Hey everyone, my name's Carl George, and the talk you're here to see today is Centos Mythbusters. Who here has seen the TV show or heard of the TV show Mythbusters before? Okay, that's probably why you're here at the talk, right? Good catchy title. Who's never seen the show before? A few people? Okay. Well, the actual real show was a TV show on the Discovery Channel from about 2003 to 2018. The hosts were experienced special effects engineers, and they would examine various like pop culture myths, and they would each rate each one as either busted, plausible, or confirmed. Today we're going to give the same treatment to myths about CentOS. First one, many of y'all have probably heard this, CentOS is dead. It's definitely not true. I wouldn't be here giving a talk about it if it was true. This myth was really common for a few years. Thankfully, I think it is starting to fade out. I hear it less often. But even now, some people will come up to me working a booth at a conference, typically a CentOS or a Fedora and CentOS booth, and ask me, oh, I thought CentOS was dead. And I'll turn around and look at the side and sign and say, nope, we're here. But it is a narrative that's been pushed pretty hard by a few groups, so it's understandable that people would be confused. But let's dig into it and look at the facts. If you're looking at any software today, probably one of the first things you would do is go look at the website. Gives you a good pulse check of what's happening with the project, the number of updates they've done recently. It's kind of the project's presentation to the world. This is a screenshot of the CentOS website yesterday, and you can see there that it's highlighting CentOS Stream as the distro, CentOS Hyperscale Special Interest Group, and CentOS Connect, which was an event we did earlier this week as part of the FOSDEM Fringe. Throughout the year, other events will get highlighted here as well. Sometimes we have a virtual CentOS showcase. Do we have one of those coming up this year?
April.
No. You'll see that updates and information for that on this website as we get know more information. It'll also link to various other parts of the project and the documentation and community. One thing you'll find in there right now is the release notes for CentOS Stream 10, which we launched a little more than a year ago. This current design of the website also was a refresh, a new theme that we launched about the same time. So looking at that, we've got recent events, recent releases, and a recent redesign. Those all look to be signs of an active project to me. But let's look a little bit deeper, more on the technical side. I don't expect you to be able to read this, but this is a screenshot of GitLab. Development for CentOS has taken place in GitLab since 2021. Pretty much all changes to the distro happened via pull requests, whether you're a core maintainer or an external contributor. There's a whole lot of activity, so let's zoom in on those numbers. By the time I took this screenshot, over 47,000 merged pull requests. That's actually an outdated screenshot. I took this about a year ago, so there's much more now. When I went back to get a refresh screenshot for this talk, I realized that GitLab doesn't show the number there on that tab anymore. It just says 999 plus, so I couldn't actually refresh this. I'll have to find a new way to get that data in the future. That's only possible because in 2020 and 2021, we onboarded RHEL maintainers into the CentOS project. So we went from about 4 people working on the project to about 2,000 people working on CentOS. And to me, that shows the project isn't just alive, but it's thriving. So based on that data, I'm going to call this myth busted. CentOS is not dead. Now I know what some of y'all might be thinking. That's CentOS Stream, and CentOS was a different project. And that's going to be our very next myth. That CentOS Stream is a different project. This is real common, but let's start by defining the official terms first. Officially, CentOS is the project, and it's the same project that still exists, same board. The distro from the project was previously called CentOS Linux. The distro from this project is now called CentOS Stream. Officially, we've said these are two separate distributions. Personally, my opinion is they're two variants of the same distribution. Originally, when it was released, CentOS Stream 8 was just CentOS Linux 8 with a slightly newer kernel release. Originally, they shared the same build system. That's no longer true, but originally they were still in there, and I'd be able to tag builds just from one release to the next at the appropriate time. Once things got up to speed, CentOS Stream 8 still stayed about 85 to 90% the same packages, because that's about how far RHEL changes in between its minor versions. Unofficially, a lot of people, including myself, we'll just use CentOS as shorthand for the distro from the CentOS project. That was true for CentOS Linux. I think it's still true for CentOS Stream. Other people may disagree, but you'll see it really common. It's not just me pushing that. I'll see support requests in tickets and on social media where people say, I'm running CentOS 10. There isn't a CentOS Linux 10, but there's a CentOS Stream 10, so we know exactly what they mean. Regardless of the outputs of the project never went away. There are a few key members that I'd like to highlight as well. Johnny Hughes, he was around since the very beginning of the project, and now he works in CentOS Release Engineering. Fabian Ertin, who's sitting right here in the front row, he told me he joined in about 2006. He says his title is Floor Sweeper, but he actually works on CentOS Infrastructure. Brian Stinson, who might be in the room, he's definitely here at the conference. He joined the project in 2013, and he's now the RHEL lead architect, which still his work is still heavily involved in CentOS because of that, the nature of how things are set up now. These were the most prominent members of the project when I first started getting involved in 2017, and then later they became my teammates when I joined Red Hat in 2019. Thankfully, these folks aren't alone anymore. Like I mentioned, there's a lot more people working on things. So based on the organizational structure, the outputs, and the people, I'm going to call this one busted. CentOS Stream is still part of the same CentOS project. Our next myth. CentOS is too different from RHEL. Some people will claim that it used to be the same, but now it's not anymore because of the changes we made with Stream. Usually I'll see people trying to make this claim when they're trying to convince themselves or other people not to use it, which is just mean. It's not really fair. So to examine this, let's look at how these distros are actually created now. This here's the legacy relationship. Fedora Rawhide's the actual role in release. We'll get into that myth later. Fedora releases come off of there every 6 months. And then in the past, Red Hat would pick one of those releases, not really talk about it, and develop it behind the firewall in private and create a new major version of RHEL, eventually releasing a RHEL minor version, like in this example here, RHEL 7.0. CentOS would come along and take that published sources and duplicate it, creating another build, removing all the branding. And the idea was to match it as closely as possible. The term that was often used was bug-for-bug compatibility. That makes a useful distro that you can literally use, but the problem is it means you can't actually accept any contributions or fix any bugs yourself in the CentOS space. All of it just has to come through RHEL and you get what you get. To me, that's less of an open source project and more of a science experiment, even though it is something useful you can use and build on top of. If you went to contribute into Fedora, which was kind of the official stance at that time, you could get a contribution, say, into Fedora 23, but you couldn't get it into RHEL 7 or CentOS 7. You had to wait until the next major version branch to even have it considered, which may be years down the line. This is how we have things set up now. Still Rawhide and Fedora's releases set up the same way, but we do that branching in public. And Fedora 40, we basically branched off. There's a little bit more detail to it than this, but this is the high-level overview. Branched off CentOS 10 in the public and did the initial bootstrap phase before we launched it and did the release announcement for CentOS Stream 10. Later on, RHEL minor versions branched from there, and the actual minor versions become the certified product. And in that way, CentOS functions as the RHEL major version branch. Because of the way it's set up now, we like to say, and if you went to the Connect conference, you saw it on the lanyard, that CentOS defines enterprise Linux. While doing all of that, CentOS still must follow the RHEL compatibility rules. If you look online, you can find this page. It's called the Application Compatibility Guide. These are literally those rules. And it'll cover what I'm talking about in more detail. I don't have time to go through all of it. But the main thing is that changes in CentOS aren't just independent and we're just doing them in a vacuum. They affect RHEL in the very near future. Changes aren't going to be made there that aren't decided to be appropriate for RHEL customers in the very near future. And when you put it in that context, you wouldn't say that RHEL 10.1 is a completely different distro from 10.0. And likewise, CentOS 10 isn't completely different from RHEL 10. It functions like the major version branch, and so it's very similar. When you look at that branching model and the compatibility rules, I think it's easy to call this myth busted as well. CentOS is built different now, But the resulting distro, it's not that different from RHEL. And I hinted at this a minute ago. CentOS is a rolling release will be our next myth. The origin of this one is a little bit our own fault in the project, but let's talk about it. In the past, CentOS had major and minor versions, but now it's only a major version. The stream variant was originally announced as a rolling release. The idea people had was that they wanted to convey that it no longer had minor versions and that it rolled from one minor version to the next. But that's not what rolling release means. That's just not having minor versions. If you think about what an actual rolling release is with other distributions, that means there's no version at all, there's no end-of-life dates, you don't have to reinstall it, and there's a single channel of updates. CentOS has major versions. Each of those has its own update channel and end-of-life date to go with it. So I think this was a terminology mistake, and to be fair, it was corrected pretty quickly. We realized it was causing confusion, took it down off the website. It was still in the release announcement because you're not really going to go back and retroactively edit that. The term that we use now is continuously delivered. I'll be honest, I don't like this term either. It's kind of convoluted and people don't really understand what it means. I will just translate it as it gets updates, which is true for pretty much every Linux distribution. So, regardless of those details, I think we have enough data to call this one busted. CentOS is not a rolling release. Our next myth, CentOS is bleeding edge. This is an extension of that roll and release myth, because roll and releases typically do have the latest versions of software as soon as they come out upstream from the upstream projects, because they don't have to wait for a new version to do an incompatible change. So let's look at some of the software. This one's actually really easy to disprove just with the data. CentOS 9, if you look at some of the major distro components that you would see, kernel 5.14 from 2021, systemd from 2022, glibc from 2021, this is 4 to 6 year old software, and that's still a current version of the CentOS project. Would you call 4 to 6 year old software bleeding edge? I wouldn't. And it's a similar story with CentOS 10, although a little bit shifted in the future. Most of that software came from 2024 timeframe. And if you think back to our branching diagram, it makes perfect sense, because that's about when they branched from Fedora. Every once in a while, you'll see a version rebase in that initial bootstrap phase. And sometimes after it too, but a lot less common. One example I know that's upcoming that people might be looking forward to is CentOS 10 initially released with GNOME 47. It's been rebased most of the components to GNOME 49, and that's expected to show up in the next RHEL minor version that's happening soon this year. So based on that, we'll call this one busted also. Just looking at the package versions, it's definitely not bleeding edge software. So, then our next myth, CentOS is still an LTS. I'll admit this one's a little bit contrived. I didn't want all of the myths to just be busted conclusions, so I kind of inverted this one just to have a confirmed one, but I'm spoiling it for you. Sometimes I'll see the opposite version of this in the wild where people say it's not an LTS anymore, or I'll say it's an LTS and people try to correct me. But let's look at the history of the term LTS to set the context. Canonical and Ubuntu pioneered this term in 2006 when they released Ubuntu 6.06 LTS Dapper Drake. And that was a distro with a 5-year life cycle. So since then, 5+ years is kind of considered an LTS, and less than that is a short-term release or just a regular release. It's been emulated by other distros since then. CentOS did used to match RHEL's 10-year life cycle, and with the stream changes, it did get reduced down to about 5.5 years. But to me, if the term means 5+ years, that's still an LTS, even if it's less than it used to be. So that one also makes it pretty easy just on the data to say confirmed that CentOS is still an LTS. Myth, you can't use CentOS in production. This one's really fun. I'm going to go a little bit quicker, but this originated with a statement on the Red Hat website that said that, it's a lot of words, but basically it says that Red Hat doesn't recommend CentOS stream in production. The funny thing about that is that RHEL comes with promises, agreements, certifications, and services. The only thing Red Hat recommends for production is RHEL with support. And that with support part is interesting, because if you go to the RHEL web store, you can actually go buy RHEL without support, and it also says it's not intended for production environments. So when you think about it in that context, Red Hat never endorsed the old variant CentOS Linux. It doesn't endorse CentOS Stream. It doesn't endorse any other distro. And it doesn't even endorse RHEL without production, or without support, I mean. So other companies, besides just what recommendations are, let's look at actual companies using it. Unfortunately, I only have one example of a company that's agreed to let us say that they, say their name. That's our friends in Meta. They're very active in CentOS special interest groups, and they let us know that, yes, they run CentOS Stream on literally millions of servers in production, and it works really well for them. I have talked to other companies, engineers, in various industries, some of them I listed up there, where they've told me, like, yeah, we stuck with it, and we like these changes, and we've even contributed, but please don't mention our name in any slide decks. And I'm like, dang, I'm trying to get more examples. But based on that, we can go ahead and say this one's busted as well. You definitely can use CentOS in production. There's nothing that stops you, regardless of what Red Hat would like you to buy. CentOS is untested will be our next myth. And this one bugs me because it's discounting other people's work, which is pretty rude. CentOS is tested at multiple levels. There's tests that happen when you open a pull request. There's also tests within the RPM spec file itself, if you're familiar with that, the check section where it'll do tests from like the upstream unit test typically. And before a package is allowed in the CentOS Stream Compose, like the collection of artifacts, it has to pass additional RHEL gating tests. And then once it is in a Compose, that Compose has distribution level tests that it also has to pass before it's published out to the mirrors. So there's multiple levels and steps before updates can actually go out. Tests aren't perfect. There's always some scenario people haven't thought of, including in RHEL. Whenever something gets through, a problem gets through that isn't covered by the test, that's the case to open it, start a new test case to catch that in the future. And the cool thing with the contribution model is now you can contribute some of those tests also if it's something, if it's a blind spot that Red Hat and CentOS aren't testing for. So it's definitely tested, so that myth is busted as well. All right. Last myth is pretty spicy. I'm probably out of time or have a minute left, but this one's good. The myth is that IBM forced the CentOS changes. This one's just tinfoil hat territory. Unfortunately, a lot of people think it's true because of the timing of public things. Disproving it's a little harder. It's like proving a negative. I'd rather the people claiming this actually provide some evidence, but that's not how, you know, the internet works. But I'll take a stab at busting this myth anyways. In January 2014, Red Hat hired CentOS Core maintainers. Before this, CentOS wasn't really in great shape. The last major version before that was about 8 months delayed. There's some burnout going on. Red Hat was doing some product development to, they were doing some product development. Based on that, they wanted the project to keep going. So they wanted to sustain it. They hired the engineers. From 2016 to 2017, do I have any Q&A time I can burn up? Nope. No Q&A time. Well, contribution model from 2016 to 2017 was being discussed. In 2018, IBM announced intent to acquire. Deal closed in 2019. In September 2019, CentOS Stream was announced. And even without all the past knowledge, I don't think anyone thinks a company as big as IBM can make a change like this in 2 months. So let's call that one busted as well. The changes weren't driven by IBM. If you have questions, come meet me afterwards. Again, I'm very sorry for being late. I didn't realize I couldn't get on the other side of the building. So that's all, and thanks for coming to my talk. Thank you.